The Chemical Wedding by Cristiano Cruz de Rosa. Day 3. Now as soon as the lovely day was broken, and the bright sun, having raised himself above the hills, had again betaken himself, in the high heaven, to his appointed office, my good champions began to rise out of their beds, and leisurely to make themselves ready unto the Inquisition. Whereupon, one after another, they came again into the hall, and giving us a good morrow, demanded how we had slept, and having espied our bonds, there were some that reproved us for being so cowardly, and that we had not, as they, hazarded upon all adventures. Howbeit, same of them whose hearts still smote them made no loud cry of the business. We excused ourselves with our ignorance, hoping we should now be set at liberty, and learn wit by this disgrace, that they on the contrary had not yet altogether escaped, and perhaps their greatest danger was still to be expected. At length each one being assembled, the trumpets began now again to sound and the kettle drums to beat as formerly, and we then imagined no other but that the bridegroom was ready to present himself, which nevertheless was a huge mistake. For it was again the yesterday's virgin who had arrayed herself all in red velvet, and girded herself with a white scarf. Upon her head she had a green wreath of laurel, which hugely became her. Her train was now no more of small tapers, but consisted of 200 men in harness, who were all, like her, clothed in red and white. Now as soon as they were alighted from the throne, she came straight to us prisoners, and after she had saluted us, she said in few words, that some of you have been sensible of your wretched condition is hugely pleasing to my most mighty lord, and he is also resolved you shall fare the better for it. And having espied me in my habit, she laughed and spake, good lack. Hast thou also submitted thyself to the yoke? I imagined thou wouldst have made thyself very smug, with which words she caused my eyes to run over. After which she commanded we should be unbound, and coupled together and placed in a station where we might well behold the scales. For, said she, it may yet fare better with them, than the presumptuous, who yet stand here at liberty. Meantime the scales which were entirely of gold were hung up in the midst of the hall. There was also a little table covered with red velvet, and seven weights placed thereon. First of all stood a pretty great one, next four little ones, lastly, two great ones severally. And these weights in proportion to their bulk were so heavy, that no man can believe or comprehend it. But each of the harnessed men had together with a naked sword a strong rope. These she distributed according to the number of weights into seven bands and out of every band chose one for their proper weight, and then again sprung up into her high throne. Now as soon as she had made her reverence, with a very shrill tone she began thus to speak. Who into painter's room does go? And nothing does of painting know. Yet does in prating thereof, pride it? Shall be of all the world derided. Who into th artist's order goes? And hereunto was never chose. Yet with pretence of skill does pride it. Shall be of all the world derided. Who at a wedding does appear. And yet was not he intended there. Yet does in coming highly pride it. Shall be of all the world derided. Who now into the scale ascends. The weight's not proving his fast friends. And that it bounces so does ride it. Shall be of all the world derided. As soon as the virgin had done speaking, one of the pages commanded each one to place himself according to his order, and one after another to step in, which one of the emperors made no scruple of, but first of all bowed himself a little towards the virgin, and afterwards in all his stately attire went up, whereupon each captain laid in his weight, which, to the wonder of all, he stood out. But the last was too heavy for him, so that forth he must, and that with much anguish that, as it seemed to me, the Virgin herself had pity on him, who also beckoned to her people to hold their peace, yet was the good emperor bound and delivered over to the sixth band. Next him again came forth another emperor, who steps haughtily into the scale, and having a great thick book under his gown, he imagined not to fail. But being scarce able to abide the third weight, and being unmercifully flung down, and his book in that affrightment flipping from him, all the soldiers began to laugh, and he was delivered up bound to the third band. Thus it went also with some others of the emperors who were all shamefully laughed at and captived. After these comes forth a little short man with a curled brown beard, an emperor too, who after the usual reverence got up also, and held out so steadfastly, that methought, and there been more weights ready, he would have outstood them, to whom the virgin immediately arose, and bowed before him, causing him to put on a gown of red velvet, and at last reached him a branch of laurel, having good store of them upon her throne, upon the steps whereof she willed him to sit down. Now how, after him it fared with the rest of the emperors, kings, and lords, would be too long to recount, but I cannot leave unmentioned that few of those great personages held out. Howbeit sundry eminent virtues, beyond my hopes, were found in many. One could stand out this, the second another, some two, some three, four or five, but few could attain to the just perfection, but everyone who failed, was miserably laughed at by the bands. After the Inquisition had also passed over the gentry, the learned and unlearned, and the rest, and in each condition perhaps one, it may be, two, but for the most part none, was found perfect, it came at length to those honest gentlemen the vagabond cheaters, and rascally lapidum spittle and ficum makers, who were set upon the scale with such scorn, that I myself for all my grief was ready to burst my belly with laughing, neither could the very prisoners themselves refrain. For the most part could not abide that severe trial, but with whips and scourges were jerked out of the scale, and led to the other prisoners, yet to a suitable band. Thus of so great a throng so few remained, that I am ashamed to discover their number. Howbeit there were persons of quality also amongst them, who notwithstanding were, like the rest, honored with velvet robes and wreaths of laurel. The Inquisition being completely finished, and none but we poor coupled hounds standing aside, at length one of the captains stepped forth, and said, "Gratias madam, if it please your ladyship let these poor men, who acknowledged their misunderstanding, be set upon the scale also without their incurring any danger of penalty, and only for recreation's sake, if perchance anything that is right may be found amongst them." In the first place I was in great perplexity, for in my anguish this was my only comfort, that I was not to stand in such ignominy, or to be lashed out of the scale. For I nothing doubted but that many of the prisoners wished that they had stayed 10 nights with us in the hall. Yet since the Virgin consented, so it must be, and we being untied were one after another set up. Now although the most part miscarried, yet they were neither laughed at, nor scourged, but peaceably placed on one side. My companion was the fifth, who held out bravely, whereupon all, but especially the captain who made the request for us, applauded him, and the Virgin shewed him the usual respect. After him again two more were dispatched in an instant. But I was the eighth. Now as soon as, with trembling, I stepped up, my companion who already sat by in his velvet, looked friendly upon me, and the Virgin herself smiled a little. But for as much as I outstayed all the weights, the Virgin commanded them to draw me up by force, wherefore three men moreover hung on the other side of the beam, and yet could nothing prevail. Whereupon one of the pages immediately stood up, and cried out exceeding loud, "That is he." Upon which the other replied, "Then let him gain his liberty," which the Virgin accorded, and being received with due ceremonies, the choice was given me to release one of the captives, whosoever I pleased, whereupon I made no long deliberation, but elected the first emperor whom I had long pitied, who was immediately set free, and with all respect seated amongst us. Now the last being set up, and the weights proving too heavy for him, in the meanwhile the Virgin espied my roses, which I had taken out of my hat into my hands, and thereupon presently by her page graciously requested them of me, which I readily sent her. And so this first act was finished about 10 in the forenoon. Whereupon the trumpets began to sound again, which nevertheless we could not as yet see. Meantime the bands were to step aside with their prisoners, and expect the judgment. After which a council of the seven captains and us was set, and the business was propounded by the Virgin as president, who desired each one to give his opinion, how the prisoners were to be dealt with. The first opinion was that they should all be put to death, yet one more severely than another, namely those who had presumptuously intruded themselves contrary to the express conditions, others would have them kept close prisoners. Both which pleased neither the president nor me. At length by one of the emperors, the same whom I had freed, my companion, and myself the affair was brought to this point, that first of all the principal lords should with a befitting respect be led out of the castle, others might be carried out somewhat more scornfully. These would be stripped and caused to run out naked. The fourth with rods, whips or dogs, should be hunted out. Those who the day before willingly surrendered themselves, might be suffered to depart without any blame. And last of all those presumptuous ones, and they who behaved themselves so unseemly at dinner the day before, should be punished in body and life according to each man's demerit. This opinion pleased the Virgin well, and obtained the upper hand. There was moreover another dinner vouchsafed them, which they were soon acquainted with. But the execution was deferred till 12 at noon. Herewith the Senate arose, and the Virgin also, together with her attendants returned to her usual quarter. But the uppermost table in the room was allotted to us, they requesting us to take it in good part till the business were fully dispatched. And then we should be conducted to the Lord Bridegroom and the Bride, with which we were at present well content. Meantime the prisoners were again brought into the hall, and each man seated according to his quality, they were likewise enjoined to behave themselves somewhat more civilly than they had done the day before, which yet they needed not to have been admonished, for without this, they had already put up their pipes. And this I can boldly say, not with flattery, but in the love of truth, that commonly those persons who were of the highest rank, best understood how to behave themselves in so unexpected a misfortune. Their treatment was but indifferent, yet with respect, neither could they yet see their attendants, but to us they were visible, whereat I was exceeding joyful. Now although fortune had exalted us, yet we took not upon us more than the rest, advising them to be of good cheer, the event would not be so ill. Now although they would gladly have understood the sentence of us, yet we were so deeply obliged that none durst open his mouth about it. Nevertheless we comforted them as well we could, drinking with them to try if the wine might make them anything cheerfuler. Our table was covered with red velvet, beset with drinking cups of pure silver and gold, which the rest could not behold without amazement and very great anguish. But ere we had seated ourselves, in came the two pages, presenting every one in the bridegroom's behalf, the golden fleece with a flying lion, requesting us to wear them at the table, and as became us to observe the reputation and dignity of the order, which His Majesty had now vouchsafed us, and should suddenly be ratified with suitable ceremony. This we received with profoundest submission, promising obediently to perform whatsoever His Majesty should please. Besides these, the noble page had a schedule, wherein we were set down in order. And for my part I should not otherwise be desirous to conceal my place, if perchance it might not be interpreted to pride in me, which yet is expressly against the fourth weight. Now because our entertainment was exceedingly stately, we demanded one of the pages, whether we might not have leave to send some choice bit to our friends and acquaintance, who making no difficulty of it, every one sent plentifully to his acquaintance by the waiters, howbeit they saw none of them, and forasmuch as they knew not whence it came, myself desirous to carry somewhat to one of them, but as soon as I was risen, one of the waiters was presently at my elbow, saying he desired me to take friendly warning, for in case one of the pages had seen it, it would have come to the king's ear, who would certainly have taken it amiss of me, but since none had observed it but himself, he purposed not to betray me, but that I ought for the time to come to have better regard to the dignity of the order. With which words the servant did really so astonish me, that for a long time after I scarce moved upon my seat, yet I returned him thanks for his faithful warning, as well as in haste and affright I was able. Soon after the drums began to beat again, to which we were already accustomed, for we well knew it was the Virgin, wherefore we prepared ourselves to receive her, who was now coming in with her usual train, upon her high seat, one of the pages bearing before her a very tall goblet of gold, and the other a patent in parchment. Being now after a marvelous artificial manner alighted from the seat, she takes the goblet from the page, and presents the same in the king's behalf, saying, that it was brought from his majesty, and that in honor of him we should cause it to go round. Upon the cover of this goblet stood Fortune curiously cast in gold, who had in her hand a red flying ensign, for which cause I drunk somewhat the more sadly, as having been but too well acquainted with Fortune's waywardness. But the virgin as well as we, was adorned with the golden fleece and lion, whence I observed, that perhaps she won the president of the order. Wherefore we demanded of her how the order might be named. She answered that it was not yet seasonable to discover it, till the affair with the prisoners were dispatched. And therefore their eyes were still held, and what had hitherto happened to us, was to them only for an offence and scandal, although it were to be accounted as nothing, in regard of the honour that attended us. Hereupon she began to distinguish the patent which the other page held into two different parts, out of which about thus much was read before the first company. That they should confess that they had too lightly given credit to fictitious books, had assumed too much to themselves, and so came into this castle, albeit they were never invited into it, and perhaps the most part had presented themselves with design to make their market here, and afterwards to live in the greater pride and lordliness, and thus one had seduced another, and plunged him into this disgrace and ignominy, wherefore they were deservedly to be soundly punished. Which they with great humility readily acknowledged, and gave their hands upon it. After which a severe check was given to the rest, much to this purpose. That they very well knew, and were in their consciences convinced, that they had forged false fictitious books, had befooled others, and cheated them, and thereby had diminished regal dignity amongst all. They knew in like manner what ungodly deceitful figures they had made use of, insomuch as they spared not even the Divine Trinity, but accustomed themselves to cheat people the country over. It was also now as clear as day with what practices they had endeavored to ensnare the true guests, and introduce the ignorant, in like manner, that it was manifest to all the world, that they wallowed in open whoredom, adultery, gluttony, and other uncleannesses. All which was against the express orders of our kingdom. In brief, they knew they had disparaged kingly majesty, even amongst the common sort, and therefore they should confess themselves to be manifest convicted vagabond cheaters, knaves, and rascals, whereby they deserved to be cashiered from the company of civil people, and severely to be punished. The good artists were loath to come to this confession, but inasmuch as not only the Virgin herself threatened, and swore their death, but the other party also vehemently raged at them, and unanimously cried out, that they had most wickedly seduced them out of the light, they at length, to prevent a huge misfortune, confessed the same with dolor, and yet withal alleged that what had herein happened was not to be animadverted upon them in the worst sense. For inasmuch as the lords were absolutely resolved to get into the castle, and had promised great sums of money to that effect, each one had used all craft to seize upon something, and so things were brought to that pass, as was now manifest before their eyes. But that it succeeded not, they in their opinion had disdeserved no more than the lords themselves, as who should have had so much understanding as to consider that in case any one had been sure of getting in, he would not, in so great peril, for the sake of a slight gain, have clambered over the wall with them. Their books also sold so mightily, that whoever had no other mean to maintain himself, was fain to engage in such a cozenage. They hoped moreover, that if a right judgment were made, they should be found no way to have miscarried, as having behaved themselves towards the lords, as became servants, upon their earnest entreaty. But answer was made them, that His Royal Majesty had determined to punish all, and every man, albeit one more severely than another. For although what had been alleged by them was partly true, and therefore the lords should not wholly be indulged, yet they had good reason to prepare themselves for death, who had so presumptuously obtruded themselves, and perhaps seduced the more ignorant against their will, as likewise they who with false books had violated Royal Majesty, as the same might be evinced out of their very writings and books. Hereupon many began most piteously to lament, cry, weep, entreat, and prostrate themselves, all which notwithstanding could avail them nothing, and I much marvelled how the Virgin could be so resolute, when yet their misery caused our eyes to run over, and moved our compassion, although the most part of them had procured us much trouble and vexation. For she presently dispatched her page, who brought with him all the curriers which had this day been appointed at the scales, who were commanded each of them to take his own to him, and in an orderly procession, so as still each currier should go with one of the prisoners, to conduct them into her great garden. At which time each one so exactly recognized his own man, that I marveled at it. Leave also was likewise given to my yesterday companions to go out into the garden unbound, and to be present at the execution of the sentence. Now as soon as every man was come forth, the Virgin mounted up into her high throne, requesting us to sit down upon the steps, and to appear at the judgment, which we refused not, but left all standing upon the table, except the goblet, which the Virgin committed to the page's keeping, and went forth in our robes upon the throne, which of itself moved so gently as if we had passed in the air, till in this manner we came into the garden, where we arose altogether. This garden was not extraordinary curious, only it pleased me that the trees were planted in so good order. Besides, there ran in it a most costly fountain, adorned with wonderful figures and inscriptions, and strange characters, which God willing I shall mention in a future book. In this garden was raised a wooden scaffold, hung about with curiously painted figured coverlets. Now there were four galleries made one over another, the first more glorious than any of the rest, and therefore covered with a white taffeta curtain, so that at that time we could not perceive who was behind it. The second was empty and uncovered. Again the two last were covered with red and blue taffeta. Now as noon as we were come to the scaffold, the Virgin bowed herself down to the ground, at which we were mightily terrified, for we might easily guess that the King and Queen must not be far off. Now we also having duly performed our reverence, the Virgin led us up by the winding stairs into the second gallery, where she placed herself uppermost, and us in our former order. But how the Emperor whom I had released, behaved himself towards me, both at this time as also before at the table, I cannot, without slander of wicked tongues, well relate. For he might well imagine in what anguish and solicitude he now should have been, in case he were at present to attend the judgment with such ignominies, and that only through me he hast not attained such dignity and worthiness. Meantime the Virgin who first of all brought me the invitation, and whom hitherto I had never since seen, stepped in. First she gave one blast upon her trumpet, and then with a very loud voice declared the sentence in this manner. The King's Majesty my most gracious Lord could from his heart wish, that all and every one here assembled, held upon his Majesty's invitation presented themselves so qualified, as that they might, to his honor, with greatest frequently have adorned this his appointed nuptial and joyful feast. But since it hath otherwise pleased Almighty God, his Majesty hath not whereat to murmur, but must be forced, contrary to his own inclination, to abide by the ancient and laudable constitutions of this kingdom. But now, that his Majesty's innate clemency may be celebrated over all the world, he hath thus far absolutely dealt with his council and estates, that the usual sentence shall be considerably lenified. So that in the first place he is willing to vouchsafe to the lords and potentates, not only their lives entirely, but also freely and frankly to dismiss them, friendly and courteously entreating your lordships not at all to take it in evil part that you cannot be present at his Majesty's feast of honor, but to remember that therein notwithstanding more imposed upon your lordship. By God Almighty, who in the distribution of his gifts hath an incomprehensible consideration, than you can duly and easily sustain. Neither is your reputation hereby prejudiced, although you be rejected by this our order, since we cannot at once all of us, do all things. But for as much as your lordships have been seduced by base rascals, it shall not on their part, pass unrevenged. And furthermore his Majesty resolveth shortly to communicate with your lordships a catalogue of heretics or index expurgatorius, that you may henceforward be able with better judgment to discern between the good and the evil. And because his Majesty ere long also purposeth to rummage his library, and offer up the reductive writings to Vulcan, he friendly, humbly, and courteously entreats every one of your lordships to put the name in execution with your own, whereby it is to be hoped that all evil and mischief may for the time to come be remedied. and you are withal to be admonished, never henceforth so inconsiderately to covet an entrance hither, lest the former excuse of seducers be taken from you, and you fall into disgrace and contempt of all men. In fine, for as much as the estates of the land have still somewhat to demand of your lordships, His Majesty hopes that no man will think much to redeem himself with a chain or what else he hath about him, and so in friendly manner to depart from us, and through our safe conduct to betake himself home again. The others who stood not at the first, third, and fourth wait, His Majesty will not no lightly dismiss. But that they also may now experience His Majesty's gentleness, it is His command, to strip them stark naked and so send them forth. Those who in the second and fifth wait were found too light, shall besides stripping, be noted with one, two, or more brand marks, according as each one was lighter, or heavier. They who were drawn up by the sixth or seventh, and not by the rest, shall be somewhat more gratiously dealt withal, and so forward. For unto every combination there was a certain punishment ordained, which were here too long to recount. They who yesterday separated themselves freely of their own accord, shall go at liberty without any blame. Finally, the convicted vagabond cheaters who could move up none of the weights, shall as occasion serves, be punished in body and life, with the sword, halter, water, and rods. And such execution of judgment shall be inviolably observed for an example unto others. Herewith our virgin broke her wand, and the other who read the sentence, blowed her trumpet, and stepped with most profound reverence towards those who stood behind the curtain. But here I cannot omit to discover somewhat to the reader concerning the number of our prisoners, of whom those who weighed 1, were 7, those who weighed 2, were 21, they who 3, 35, they who 4, 35, those who 5, 21, those who 6, 7, but he that came to the 7th, and yet could not well raise it, he was only 1, and indeed the same whom I released. Besides, of them who wholly failed there were many. But of those who drew all the weights from the ground, but few. And these as they stood severally before us, know I diligently numbered, and noted them down in my table book. And it is very admirable that amongst those who weighed anything, none was equal to another. For although amongst those who weighed 3, there were 35, yet one of them weighed the first, second, and third, another the third, fourth, and fifth, a third, the fifth, sixth and seventh and so on. It is likewise very wonderful that amongst 126 who weighed anything, none was equal to another. And I would very willingly name them all, with each man's weight, were it not as yet forbidden me. But I hope it may hereafter be published with the interpretation. Now this judgment being read over, the lords in the first place were well satisfied, because in such severity they durst not look for a mild sentence. For which cause they gave more than they were desired, and each one redeemed himself with chains, jewels, gold, monies and other things, as much as they had about them, and with reverence took leave. Now although the king's servants were forbidden to jeer any at his going away, yet some unlucky birds could not hold laughing, and certainly it was sufficiently ridiculous to see them pack away with such speed, without once looking behind them. Some desired that the promised catalogue might with the first be dispatched after them, and then they would take such order with their books as should be pleasing to His Majesty, which was again assured. At the door was given to each of them out of a cup a draught of forgetfulness, that so he might have no further memory of misfortune. After these the volunteers departed, who because of their ingenuity were suffered to pass, but yet so as never to return again in the same fashion. But if to them, as likewise to the others, anything further were revealed, then they should become welcome guests. Meanwhile others were stripping, in which also an inequality, according to each man's demerit, was observed. Some were sent away naked, without other hurt. Others were driven out with small bells. Some were scourged forth. In brief, the punishments were so various, that I am not able to recount them all. In the end it came to the last also with whom somewhat a longer time was spent, for whilst some were hanging, some beheading, some forced to leap into the water, and the rest otherwise dispatching, much time was consumed. Verily at this execution my eyes ran over, not indeed in regard of the punishment, which they otherwise for their impudency well deserved, but in contemplation of human blindness, in that we are continually busting ourselves in that which ever since the first fall hath been hitherto sealed up to us. Thus the garden which so lately was quite full, was soon emptied, so that besides the soldier there was not a man left. Now as soon as this was done, and silence had been kept for the space of 5 minutes, there came forward a beautiful snow-white unicorn with a golden collar, having it in certain letters, about his neck. In the same place he bowed himself down upon both his forefeet, as if hereby he had shown honor to the lion, who stood so immovably upon the fountain, that I took him to be of stone or brass, who immediately took the naked sword which he bare in his paw, and brake it in the middle in two, the piece whereof to my thinking sunk into the fountain, after which he so long roared, until a white dove brought a branch of olive in her bill, which the lion devoured in an instant, and so was quieted. And so the unicorn returned to his place with joy. Hereupon our Virgin led us down again by the winding stairs from the scaffold, and so we again made our reverence toward the curtain. We were to wash our hands and heads in the fountain, and there a little while to wait in our order till the king through a certain secret gallery were again returned into his hall, and then we also with choice music, pomp, state, and pleasant discourse were conducted into our former lodging. And this was done about 4 in the afternoon. But that in the meanwhile the time might not seem too long to us, the Virgin bestowed on each of us a noble page, who were not only richly habited, but also exceedingly learned, so that they could so aptly discourse upon all subjects, that we had good reason to be ashamed of ourselves. These were commanded to lead us up and down the castle yet but into certain places and if possible, to shorten the time according to our desire. Meantime the Virgin took leave with this consolation, that at supper she would be with us again, and after that celebrate the ceremonies of the hanging up of the weights, requesting that we would in patience wait till the next day, for on the morrow we must be presented to the king. She being thus departed from us, each of us did what best pleased him. One part viewed the excellent paintings, which they copied out for themselves, and considered also what the wonderful characters might signify. Others were fain to recruit themselves again with meat and drink. I indeed caused my page to conduct me, together with my companion, up and down the castle, of which walk it will never repent me as long as I have a day to live. For besides many other glorious antiquities, the royal sepulchre was also shewed me, by which I learned more than is extant in all books. There in the same place stands also the glorious phoenix, of which 2 years since I published a particular small discourse, and I am resolved, in case this my narration shall prove useful, to set forth several and peculiar treatises, concerning the lion, eagle, griffin, falcon, and other like, together with their drafts and inscriptions. It grieves me also for my other converts, that they neglected such precious treasures. And yet I cannot but think it was the special will of God it should be so. I indeed reaped the most benefit by my page, for according as each one's genius lay, so he led his interested into the quarters and places which were pleasing to him. Now the keys hereunto belonging were committed to my page, and therefore this good fortune happened to me before the rest, for although he invited others to come in, yet they imagining such tombs to be only in the churchyard, thought they would well enough get thither, whenever anything was to be seen there. Neither shall these monuments, as both of us copied and transcribed them, be withheld from my thankful scholars. The other thing that was shewed us too was the noble library as it was altogether before the Reformation. Of which, albeit it rejoices my heart as often as I call it to mind, I have so much the less to say, because the catalogue thereof in very shortly to be published. At the entry of this room stands a great book, the like whereof I never saw, in which all the figures, rooms, portals, also all the writings, riddles and the like, to be seen in the whole castle, are delineated. Now although we made some promise concerning this also, yet at present I must contain myself, and first learn to know the world better. In every book stands its author painted, whereof, as I understood, many were to be burnt, that so even their memory may be blotted out from amongst the righteous. Now having taken a full view hereof, and being scarce gotten forth, another page came running to us, and having whispered somewhat in our page's ear, he delivered up the keys to him, who immediately carried them up the winding stair. But our page was very much out of countenance, and we setting hard upon him with entreaties, he declared to us that the King's Majesty would by no means permit that either of the two, namely the library and sepulchres, should be seen by any man, and therefore he besought us as we tendered his life, to discover it to no man, he having already utterly denied it. Whereupon both of us stood hovering between joy and fear, yet it continued in silence, and no man made further inquiry about it. Thus in both places we consumed 3 hours, which does not at all repent me. Now although it had already struck 7, yet nothing was hitherto given us to eat, howbeit our hunger was easy to be abetted by constant revivings, and I could be well content to fast all my life long with such entertainment. About this time the curious fountains, mines, and all kind of art shops, were also shown us, of which there was none but surpassed all our arts, though they should all be melted into one mass. All their chambers were built in semi-circle, that so they might have before their eyes the costly clockwork which was erected upon a fair turret in the center, and regulate themselves according to the course of the planets, which were to be seen on it in a glorious manner. And hence I could easily conjecture wherein our artists failed, howbeit it's none of my duty to inform them. At length I came into a spacious room, shown indeed to the rest a great while before, in the middle whereof stood a terrestrial globe, whose diameter contained 30 foot, albeit near half of it, except a little which was covered with the steps, was let into the earth. 2 men might readily turn this globe about with all its furniture, so that more of it was never to be seen, but so much as was above the horizon. Now although I could easily conceive that this was of some special use, yet could I not understand whereto those ringlets of gold, which were upon it in several places, served, at which my page laughed and advised me to view them more narrowly. In brief, I found there my native country noted with gold also. Whereupon my companion sought his, and found that so too. Now for as much as the same happened in like manner to the rest who stood by, the page told us of a certain that it was yesterday declared to the King's Majesty by their old Atlas, so is the astronomer named, that all the gilded points did exactly answer to their native countries, according as had been shown of each of them. And therefore he also, as soon as he perceived that I undervalued myself and that nevertheless there stood a point upon my native country, moved one of the captains to entreat for us, that we should be set upon the scale, without our peril, at all adventures, especially seeing one of our native countries had a notable good mark. And truly it was not without cause that he, the page who had the greatest power of all the rest, was bestowed on me. For this I then returned him thanks, and immediately looked more diligently upon my native country, and found moreover that besides the ringlet, there were also certain delicate streaks upon it, which nevertheless I would not be thought to speak to my own praise or glory. I saw much more too upon this globe than I am willing to discover. Let each man take into consideration why each city produceth not a philosopher. After this he led us quite into the globe, which was thus made. On the sea was a tablet, whereon stood 3 dedications, and the author's name, which a man might gently lift up and by a little joined board, go into the center, which was capable of 4 persons, being nothing but a round board whereon we could sit and at ease by broad daylight, it was now already dark, contemplate the stars. To my thinking they were mere carbuncles which glittered in an agreeable order, and moved so gallantly, that I had scarce any mind ever to go out again, as the page afterwards told the Virgin, with which she often twitched me. For it was already supper time, and I had so much amused myself in the globe, that I was almost the last at table, wherefore I made no longer delay, but having again put on my gown, which I had before laid aside, and stepping to the table, the waiters treated me with so much reverence and honor, that for shame I durst not look up, and so unawares permitted the Virgin, who attended me on one side, to stand, which she soon perceiving twitched me by the gown, and so led me to the table. To speak any further concerning the music, or the rest of that magnificent entertainment, I hold it needless both because it is not possible sufficiently to express it, and I have above reported it according so my power. In brief, there was nothing there but art and amenity. Now after we had each to other related our employment since noon, howbeit, not a word was spoken of the library and monuments, being already merry with the wine the virgin began thus. My lords, I have a great contention with one of my sisters. In our chamber we have an eagle. Now we cherish him with such diligence that each of us in desirous to be the best beloved, and upon that score have many a squabble. On a day we concluded to go both together to him, and toward whom he should show himself most friendly, hers should he properly be, this we did. And I, as commonly, bear in my hand a branch of laurel, but my sister had none. Now as soon as he espied us both, he immediately gave my sister another branch which he had in his beak, and offered at mine, which I gave him. Now each of us hereupon imagined herself to be best beloved of him. Which way am I to resolve myself? This modest proposal of the Virgin pleased us all mighty well, and each one would gladly have heard the solution, but inasmuch as they all looked upon me and desired to have the beginning from me, my mind was so extremely confounded that I knew not what else to do with it but propound another in its stead. And therefore said, Gracious Lady, your ladyship's question were easily to be resolved if one thing did not perplex me. I had two companions, both which loved me exceedingly, now they being doubtful which of them was most dear to me, concluded to run to me unaware, and that he whom I should then embrace should be the right. This they did, yet one of them could not keep pace with the other, so he stayed behind and wept, the other I embraced with amazement. Now when they had afterwards discovered the business to me, I knew not how to resolve myself and have hitherto let it rest in this manner, until I may find some good advice herein. The Virgin wondered at it, and well observed whereabout I was. Whereupon she replied, Well then let us both be quit, and then desired the solution from the rest. But I had already made them wise. Whereupon the next began thus, In the city where I live, a virgin was lately condemned to death, but the judge being something pitiful towards her, caused it to be proclaimed that if any man desired to become the virgin's champion, he should have free leave to do it. Now she had two lovers, the one presently made himself ready, and came into the lists to expect his adversary, afterwards the other also presented himself. But coming somewhat too late, he resolved nevertheless to fight, and willingly suffer himself to be vanquished, that so the virgin's life might be preserved, which also succeeded according. Whereupon each challenged her. Now my lords instruct me, to which of them of right Belengeth she the virgin could hold no longer, but said, I thought to have gained much information, and am myself gotten into the net but yet would gladly hear whether there be any more behind. Yes, that there is, answered a third, a stranger adventure hath not been yet recounted than that which happened to myself. In my youth I loved a worthy maid. Now that this my love might attain its wished end, I was fain to make use of an ancient matron, who easily brought me to her. Now it happened that the maid's brethren came in upon us just as we three were together, who were in such a rage that they would have taken my life, but upon my vehement supplication, they at length forced me to swear to take each of them for a year, to my wedded wife. Now tell me, my lords, should I take the old, or the young one first? We all laughed sufficiently at this riddle, and although some of them muttered one to another thereupon, yet none would undertake to unfold it. Hereupon the fourth began, In a certain city there dwelt an honorable lady, who was beloved of all, but especially by a young noble man, who would needs be too importunate with her. At length she gave him this determination, that in case he would, in a cold winter, lead her into a fair green garden of roses, then he should obtain, but if not, he must resolve never to see her more. The nobleman travelled into all countries to find such a man as might perform this, till at length he light upon a little old man that promised to do it for him, in case he would assure him of half his estate, which he having consented to the other was as good as his word. Whereupon he invited the aforesaid lady to his garden, where contrary to her expectation, she found all things green, pleasant, and warm, and withal remembering her promise, she only requested that she might once more return to her lord, to whom with sighs and tears she bewailed her lamentable condition. But for as much as he sufficiently perceived her faithfulness, he dispatched her back to her lover, who had so dearly purchased her, so that she might give him satisfaction. This husband's integrity did so mightily affect the noble man, that he thought it a sin to touch so honest a wife, so he sent her home again with honor to her lord. Now the little man, perceiving such faith in both these, would not, how poor soever he were, be the least, but restored the noble man all his goods again and went his way. Now, my lords, I know not which of these persons may have shown the greatest ingenuity. Here our tongues were quite cut off. Neither would the virgin make any other reply, but only that another should go on. Wherefore the fifth, without delay, began, my lords, I desire not to make long work, who hath the greater joy, he that beholdeth what he loveth, or he that only thinketh on it? He that beholdeth it, said the virgin, nay, answered I, hereupon arose a contest, wherefore the sixth called out, my lords, I am to take a wife, now I have before me a maid, a married wife, and a widow, ease me of this doubt, and I will afterwards help to order the rest. It goes well there, replied the seventh, where a man hath his choice, but with me the case is otherwise. In my youth I loved a fair and virtuous virgin from the bottom of my heart, and she me in like manner, howbeit because of her friend's denial we could not come together in wedlock. Whereupon she was married to another, yet an honest and discreet person, who maintained her honorably and with affection, until she came into the pains of childbirth, which went so hard with her that all thought she had been dead, so with much state, and great mourning she was interred. Now I thought with myself, during her life thou couldst have no part in this woman, but yet now dead as she is thou mayst embrace and kiss her sufficiently, whereupon I took my servant with me, who dug her up by night. Now having opened the coffin and locked her in my arms, and feeling about her heart, I found still some little motion in it, which increased more and more from my warmth, till at last I perceived that she was indeed still alive, wherefore I quietly bare her home. And after I had warmed her chilled body with a costly bath of herbs, I committed her to my mother until she brought forth a fair son, whom, as the mother, I caused faithfully to be nursed. After 2 days, she being then in a mighty amazement, I discovered to her all the forepassed affair, requesting her that for the time to come she would live with me as a wife, against which she thus accepted, in case it should be grievous to her husband who had well and honorably maintained her. But if it could otherwise be, she was the present obliged in love to one as well as the other. Now after 2 months, being then to make a journey elsewhere, I invited her husband as a guest, and amongst other things demanded of him, whether if his deceased wife should come home again, he could be content to receive her, and he affirming it with tears and lamentations, at length I brought him his wife together with his son, and an account of all the forepassed business, interceding him to ratify with his consent my forepurposed espousals. After a long dispute he could not beat me from my right, but was fain to leave me the wife. But still the contest was about the son. Here the virgin interrupted him, and said, it makes me wonder how you could double the afflicted man's grief. How, answered he, was I not then concerned? Upon this there arose a dispute amongst us, yet the most part affirmed that he had done but right. Nay, said he, I freely returned him both his wife and son. Now tell me, my lords, was my honesty, or this man's joy the greater? These words had so mightily cheered the virgin that, as if it had been for the sake or these two, she caused a health to go round. After which the rest of the proposals went on somewhat perplexedly, so that I could not retain them all, yet this comes to my mind, that one said, that a few years before he had seen a physician, who bought a parcel of wood against winter, with which he warmed himself all winter long, but as soon as the spring returned he sold the very same wood again, and so had the use of it for nothing. Here must needs be skill, said the virgin, but the time is now past. Yeah, replied my companion, whoever understands not how to resolve all the riddles, may give each man notice of it by a proper messenger, I conceive he will not be denied. At this time they began to say grace, and we arose altogether from the table, rather satisfied and merry than glutted, and it were to be wished that all invitations and feastings were thus to be kept. Having now taken some few turns up and down the hall again, the Virgin asked us whether we desired to begin the wedding. Yes, said one, noble and virtuous lady, whereupon she privately dispatched a page, and yet in the meantime proceeded in discourse with us. In brief, she was already become so familiar with us, that I adventured and requested her name. The Virgin smiled at my curiosity, but yet was not moved, but replied, My name contains 55, and yet hath only 8 letters, the third is the third part of the fifth, which added to the sixth will produce a number whose root shall exceed the third itself by just the first, and it is the half of the fourth. Now the fifth and the seventh are equal, the last and the first are also equal, and make with the second as much as the sixth hath, which contains just 4 more than the third tripled. Now tell me, my lord, how am I called? The answer was intricate enough to me, yet I left not off so, but said, Noble and virtuous lady, may I not obtain one only letter? Yeah, said she, that may well be done. What then, replied I again, may the seventh contain? It contains, said she, as many as there are lords here. With this I was content, and easily found her name, at which she was well pleased, with assurance that much more should yet be revealed to us. Meantime certain virgins had made themselves ready, and came in with great ceremony. First of all 2 youths carried lights before them, one of them was of jocund countenance, sprightly eyes and Gentile proportion. The other looks something angrily, and whatever he would have, must be, as I afterwards perceived. After them first followed 4 virgins. One looked shamefacedly towards the earth, very humble in behavior. The second also was a modest, bashful virgin. The third, as she entered the room seemed amazed at somewhat, and as I understood, she cannot well abide where there is too much mirth. The fourth brought with her certain small wreaths, thereby to manifest her kindness and liberality. After these 4 came 2 which were somewhat more gloriously apparelled, they saluted us courteously. One of them had a gown of sky color spangled with golden stars. The others was green, beautified with red and white stripes. On their heads they had thin flying tissities, which did most becomingly adorn them. At last came one alone, who had on her head a coronet, but rather looked up towards heaven, than towards earth. We all thought it had been the bride, but were much mistaken, although otherwise in honor, riches, and state she much surpassed the bride, and she afterwards ruled the whole wedding. Now on this occasion we all followed our Virgin, and fell down on our knees, howbeit she showed herself extreme humble, offering every one her hand, and admonishing us not to be too much surprised at this, for this was one of her smallest bounties, but to lift up our eye to our Creator, and learn hereby to acknowledge His omnipotency, and so proceed in our enterprised course, employing this grace to the praise to God, and the good of men. In sum, her words were quite different from those of our Virgin, who was somewhat more worldly. They pierced even through my bones and marrow. And thou, said she further to me, hast received more than others, see that thou also make a larger return. This to me was a very strange sermon, for as soon as we saw the virgins with the music, we imagined we must presently fall to dancing, but that time was not as yet come. Now the waits, whereof mention has been before made, stood still in the same place, wherefore the queen, I yet knew not who she was, commanded each virgin to take up one, but to our Virgin she gave her own, which was the last and greatest, and commanded us to follow behind. Our Majesty was then somewhat abetted, for I well observed that our Virgin was but too good for us, and we were not so highly reputed as we ourselves were almost in part willing to fantasy. So we went behind in our order, and were brought into the first chamber, where our Virgin in the first place hung up the Queen's weight, during which an excellent spiritual hymn was sung. There was nothing costly in this room save only curious little prayer books which should never be missing. In the midst was erected a pulpit, very convenient for prayer, wherein the Queen kneeled down, and about her we were all fain to kneel and pray after the Virgin, who read out of a book, that this wedding might tend to the honor of God, and our own benefit. Afterwards we came into the second chamber, where the first Virgin hung up her weight also, and so forward until all the ceremonies were finished. Hereupon the Queen again presented her hand to every one, and departed thence with her Virgin. Our President stayed yet a while with us. But because it had been already 2 hours night, she would no longer detain us, methought she was glad of our company, yet she bid us good night, and wished us quiet rest, and so departed friendly, although unwillingly from us. Our pages were well instructed in their business, and therefore showed every man his chamber, and stayed also with us in another pallet. That in case we wanted anything we might make use of them. My chamber, of the rest I am not able to speak, was royally furnished with rare tapestries and hung about with paintings. But above all things I delighted in my page, who was so excellently spoken and experienced in the arts, that he yet spent another hour with me, and it was half an hour after 3 when first I fell asleep. And this indeed was the first night that I slept in quiet, and yet a scurvy dream would not suffer me to rest, for I was all the night troubled with a door which I could not get open. But at last I did it. With these fantasies I passed the time, till at length coward's day I awaked.